my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Oh, welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we're responding to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary. I'm your host. It's such a privilege to be able to join with you. This week, we're looking at growth in the Christian experience. This is for everyone who may feel their spiritual life has become maybe just a little bit stagnant. Now, this week, we're talking some of those really big issues, issues that are so familiar to people who have been down the Christian path sometime, but also so conscious of people who are brand new to the Christian faith and who may have never fallen in love with Jesus. And, of course, our subject today is, in fact, how can I fall in love with Jesus? And today we're going to be asking, does Jesus have a place for me? Does he have a place where I can actually fit in, where I can be involved in his ministry? Today, my co-host is Pastor Marty Thompson, and Marty is the pastor of the Grace Adventist Church right here in central Adelaide, and also the Stirling Adventist Church in the beautiful Adelaide Hills. Now, welcome to you, Marty.
Good to be here in this beautiful, warm studio, Pastor Gary.
Oh, yes. We had to crank up the heater today, I'm afraid. Outside there, it is a challenge.
It's blowing a gale.
Time.
It was blowing a gale last night. The cool change came in with the wet, and you know what? It's just one of those days where it's, you know, I guess many times I feel as a pastor that I'd love to be outside. I'd love to be, you know, working with my hands, because you get a real sense of accomplishment when you do that. But on days like today, I'm quite happy to be visiting in people's homes and giving Bible studies indoors.
Indeed. Very much. So how is ministry going at the present time?
Ministry is a joy. It is a privilege. It's a blessing. There's always challenges in ministry as well. And, we're just praising God for how he's working. Although I must say, I believe, and as we look at this topic today, there is so much more that we should be doing, and by God's grace in the future we'll be doing.
Yeah.
And I believe there are so many precious souls, Pastor Gary, who are looking for Jesus Christ. And we as pastors and as leaders and as anybody who names the name of Jesus, that's really what we're talking about today. We need to be on our knees and saying, Lord, here am I, send me.
Yeah, and what does that actually mean? And that's the thing we actually want to dig into today. Because sometimes we say that, but we don't actually give any understanding of what that does actually mean.
Looking forward to digging into it.
Yeah. No, it's so important. Now, of course, this week, let's come to our World Watch. This week, for our World Watch, we're actually going to be coming from something that those who are Seventh-day Adventists may be familiar with. Many wouldn't be. I'm familiar with that. But, of course, right now, we've actually got occurring in the United States a thing called the General Conference Session. Now, this is something that occurs only once every 5 years, and it's the major governing body of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, of course, at this meeting, people come together, about 2,000 delegates from all over the world come together to elect world leaders, to establish mission priorities, and to receive reports. Now, what I want to do today, Marty, is actually share with you just a brief highlight of one of those reports, and this is the Secretary's report that was given only 2 days ago. So it's fresh off the press. It hasn't even been written up in many publications yet. But it actually concerns the growth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it also deals with some of the challenges that the church does actually face. Now, I'd be really interested in your feedback. Now, the Secretary, in delivering his report, gave some remarkable statistics that I wasn't even aware of myself. myself, and I have to admit, I look at these and I say, well, absolutely, wow. I cannot believe these types of numbers, but they do come from the Secretary's report, so they are actually backed up with worldwide statistics. The number of people who have come to Christ and committed themselves to Christ as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the last 5 years totals more than 6,500 per day. Now this blew me away when I realized this. And in fact, the slide that I copied this from actually had on it that means that there's actually a new believer added to the church now every 11.5 seconds. I don't know who sits down and actually looks at these numbers, but I have to admit that was a number that actually blew my mind's quite significantly. Converted into a membership growth rate, that means that we're actually, the Seventh-day Adventist Church right now around the world is growing at a rate of just under 4% annually. Now, when you compare this with so many churches that are actually going backwards numbers-wise at the present time, that is quite remarkable. Now, that's up from the COVID years where it was actually the low point of the denomination, and growth rate actually at those years actually dropped below 1%, but right now it's up to 4% and or close enough to 4%. And just looking at that, I thought, man, God is really blessing in an amazing way. Now, of course, what this means is that you've got to have new congregations to house all these people. And so certainly in 2024, there were about 6,500 new churches or church companies. Now, church companies are church plants that have just recently been established and haven't grown to the full-size church just yet, but about 6,500 new churches and companies were actually established in the last 12 months. Once again, an absolutely remarkable figure. But then we came to the slide that talked about the members who leave. Now, this is where I'd actually like to get your feedback, Marty, because this was a slide that really did challenge me. Since 1965, so what we're talking now is really the current generation of church members. There are certainly some church members who predate 1965, but certainly this is reflective of most of those who would be currently members of the church. Since 1965, 47 million people have been added to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But during that same period of time, 20 million have actually left the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, that means the current membership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is about 26.5 million people. But to me, this slide really spoke to me in a remarkable manner, because the net loss ratio was just over 40%. In other words, for every 10 people that actually connect themselves to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we find we're going to ultimately lose about 4 of those individuals, according to this particular slide. Now, Marty, if I can just sort of ask you, I mean, does this number of departures, I suppose, surprise you? And is the church doing something wrong? Is there something we could do better to redress this rate of departure?
I mean, this has been a subject of study for decades. You know, this idea of how do we not only help someone to come to Christ, but how do we, you know, essentially as a church, how do we encourage them to keep walking and to keep growing in Christ?
Yeah,
I think that you know, probably there are many areas where we could strengthen as a church. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
We're not where we need to be.
Yeah.
And we kid ourselves if we think that we are. And I think that one of the, you know, one of the key things is we, some practical points I think are we, you know, we can talk about all the different strategies and things like that, but I think it comes down to some simple things, I think, at the end of the day. I think in many families, we've become so busy in our modern day age that we're actually neglecting things like family worship. We're neglecting personal prayer and Bible study. And when we do that, it's very easy for the next generation to grow up thinking, oh, this isn't really that important. Mm. And this is, and one of the key things is that we find that there are many young people who grow up in Seventh-day Adventist homes who end up leaving. And I'm not saying that that's because parents have been unfaithful necessarily, because sometimes parents are faithful, they do everything that they can, but, you know, their child still chooses to leave. God has given us free choice. But I would suspect that I think, generally speaking, the busyness of life has had an impact.
Yeah.
And we see in the book of Revelation that the church of today is described as a Laodicean church, which is a church that is increased with many things and thinks it has need of nothing, but is actually, you know, but is actually destitute of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so I believe that this can be a real challenge to us as Seventh-day Adventists. Oftentimes as Seventh-day Adventists, we become, you know, we become very confident because we think, you know, we have the truth and we have a special message to share with the world. And sometimes that kind of attitude is very dangerous. Mm. We can find ourselves neglecting our actual personal walk with the Lord because we're trying to substitute a personal faith experience with head knowledge. And this is totally detrimental and it can't help us. So I believe we need to see a revival in simple practices like more fervent prayer, more earnest study of the Bible, family worships morning and night, not just when it suits and not just every now and again, but these things need to be absolutely consistent so that our children see this is actually a huge part of life. I think as well, in addition to that, we need to ensure that that we basically practice what we preach when it comes to you know what we do as a church.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have amazing evangelism and amazing messages that draw people and they say, wow, this is the truth and I love what I'm hearing. But sometimes people step into a Seventh-day Adventist church and they have found that it's not always as amazing as what maybe the media can make it appear to be.
I really appreciate
that
what you're actually saying here, Marty, because this particular report, I'm so conscious that at big conventions, it is so easy to be able to, I suppose, in some ways, magnify the positive and gloss over the negative. And yet, what I am so conscious of is that many churches have actually done a survey called Natural Church Development.
Correct.
Where individual churches are rated in various areas. And I'm amazed the number of times I've been part of a church who's actually done that particular research where the lowest factor tends to be a thing called loving relationships. Now, as I look at this, you know, it's so easy to be able to preach it's not easy to actually preach the gospel today, but it's a necessity to preach the gospel today. People respond positively to Jesus Christ, and yet it's within the church itself when people come along to church. So often when I've approached individuals and I've said, hey, look, you know, why aren't you, you know, connected to the church anymore? And they'll share some story about some relationship that actually went downhill.
And this is where, you know, this is, I guess, similar to what I'm referring to when I say we need to practice what we preach. And that is we preach about God and His love. We preach about Christ and His sacrifice. But that ought to change the way that we live our lives. And if it hasn't, then we need to have an honest look at ourselves and have an honest conversation with God about that and say, Lord, change my heart, oh God.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the other key things is that we have tended to see there are churches that have gone against this trend.
Yes.
And one of the churches that has done this is the Gateway Church in Melbourne.
Yes.
Now, they looked at 20 years of research of this church in Melbourne. They discovered they had a 90% retention rate. That means that of every 10 people who joined the church, 10, 20 years later, 9 of them are still there.
That's fantastic.
Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this doesn't happen by accident. You know, when I've actually attended the church and preached at the church there. And in fact, our Grace Adventist Center here in Adelaide has been hugely influenced by what has happened in the Gateway Church in Melbourne. Yeah. And there's a number of things that they've implemented. But one of the things is they actually assign someone to be a faith friend or a journey friend to every person who is baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will continue to mentor, continue to disciple, continue to check in with that person who's made their commitment for at least 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a simple thing that any church could implement. When I say that, I don't just mean it's easy to implement, but you've got to have people who have the heart, who actually earnestly want to disciple people. But I believe that in the church, there are many who want to get involved. There are many who want to do more of God's work. And if they're just simply taught how to start, they will go from there. And I think as preachers, we need to be careful that we're not just preaching sermons and thinking that, you know, that we're doing a good job if we can preach a good sermon. We actually need to be getting people involved. We need to be teaching and training.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the list goes on and on of things that we could improve on.
Yeah.
But I would just say as a summary that those are a few of the things that we could certainly improve on. By the way, one thing that I've found is that when I've seen someone be baptized or I've had the privilege of baptizing them myself, I often will continue to work with that person. Now, I haven't always done this. Sometimes I've allowed somebody else to continue to work with them. But I've often found that when I've seen particular people who are, I don't know. I can just think of examples of people that I've spent extra time with them after their baptism, continue to do Bible studies, continue to, I guess, help them to grow in their faith. And I've grown as well as a result. What I've noticed is that person often becomes someone who ends up reaching others as well. So not only do they remain in the church, but they actually become a missionary and they become a witness. And I think that often we need to be really careful that we really nurture those who are new in the faith and actually don't and recognize that if we nurture those who are new in the faith, those precious souls who are new in the faith will often become some of the most effective evangelists and effective soul winners in the church if they can have that support.
No, I really appreciate what you've actually said there, Marty. Let's come to Michael W. Smith singing Ancient Words.
Ancient words, ever.
And that was the contemporary hymn by Michael W. Smith, Ancient Words. Really a fantastic little song, that one. Now, folks, look, we do have a giveaway for you this week. That giveaway is a book entitled Messiah. Now, this is a contemporary adaption. It's a paperback book. It's a contemporary adaption of a book entitled Desire of Ages. Now, this is a really beautiful book to be able to read. This is a book that I tried to read about every second year minimum. I have found this is a book that will guarantee to bring me closer to Jesus Christ. This is a book that I will read during my morning devotional time. I often read it along with the Bible. Some of the thoughts in it are absolutely profound. They present Jesus as one who is altogether lovely, somebody that you want to fall in love with, as somebody that you want to follow, somebody that you want to emulate. Now, look, folks, if you would like your own copy of Messiah, we're offering this today totally free. Now, all you need to do is to text us, and our studio text number is 0488 80811, and the code that you need to share with us is SA324. Now, that's just five digits in a row. No gap between the SA and the 324, because our robot, he can't read those more difficult numbers. So SA324 is the number that you need to put in there, and you need to send that to 0488 80811, and that'll go straight through to our robot. Now, robot will come back to you. We'll ask you just a couple of questions, and following those questions, we'll be able to get this book to you in the fastest way possible. You will love. This is a book that you is guaranteed to grow your spiritual life. That number again is 0488 80811, and the code is SA324. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And today my co-host is Pastor Marty Thompson. And this week we're talking about that subject, how can I fall in love with Jesus? And today, does Jesus have a place for me? Now, Marty, we've just been chatting about the departures of those who choose to become believers, those people who later move away from the church after coming to Christ at an earlier time. Now, I'm conscious that what we're chatting about today is absolutely key to establishing people in faith so they don't walk out the back door, so to say. What do you think? I mean, do these two come together?
Absolutely. There's a huge connection here. And I think that, you know, we might say something like this: the best defense is a good offense. Mm-hmm. The best defense is a good offense. In other words, if we're concerned simply about just keeping people in the church, I think we've got the wrong focus. Mm-hmm. Our concern ought to be what has God called me to do? Mm-hmm. And so when we have that kind of a mindset, we're concentrated on doing what God has called us to do. Because Pastor Gary, let's be honest as well. There may be someone who has chosen to remain in the church, but still doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we're not so much concerned about just having people stay in church. Well, the key is that we would have a vibrant experience with Jesus Christ, and that we would be engaged in doing the kind of work that Jesus did.
Do you think, Marty, that there are some who have come to see the church as something of a service center? In other words, this is a place that I go along to each week to, I suppose, get revved up, to maybe have the church teach my children good things, and that is church. Do you think that's an issue in our contemporary world?
I think what you're describing there is that, yeah, this attitude of I come to church to be served rather than to serve. Mm-hmm. And this, unfortunately, is the consumerist mindset where we see even religion as something that is there to serve us. And this, of course, is contrary to the gospel. The gospel teaches that Christ, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So love is always expressed in giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment that I have a mindset of I come to church for me, I've missed the boat. I'm in an attitude that is out of harmony with what God's will is for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So really what God calls us to is to be involved in service. Now, I remember I was, you know, brought up in going to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as a young person, I became more and more convicted about the truth of the Bible. And I believed in what was being taught and preached. But I must say that my relationship with God was very, very shallow. And one of the key issues was that I was not involved in really any form of missionary activity.
Mm-hmm.
What I discovered was that when at the age of about 18 and a half, I began to be much more involved and actually even about 19 years of age, I began to be much more involved in actual ministering to others, sharing God's word with others, serving others, this type of ministry. I mean, of course, it started before then as mm-hmm. well, but this was the time that was a real turning point in my life.
Mm.
And as I began to have this experience, this new experience with Christ, this newfound confidence in the Word of God, and this longing to share the truth that God loves us, that he saves us, that he has a plan for our lives, and that his word is to be followed. And as this conviction grew in my heart, Pastor Gary, I was compelled to go and share with others. And I remember on one occasion that it was so simple. Nobody needed to tell me to go out there and start sharing with others. I had had an experience with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I had been shown some basic skills in going door to door and in asking questions and just having spiritual conversations with people mm-hmm. and asking them questions about, you know, what was their experience with the Bible? What was their understanding of who Jesus is? And if they had the opportunity to grow in faith, would they be interested in these types of really simple questions? It was not complicated.
Mm.
And I found myself, what I would do each morning is I'd begin the day on my knees and in the Word of God. And I remember at the time I was reading the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
And I read how, you know, I was reading these experiences in the book of John of different people that God was using. And I just felt compelled and I thought, you know what, this area that I've lived, I've grown up here, but I've hardly ever gone and met with my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, one day, I just made a decision and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go and meet my neighbors and I'm going to go and, you know, have a conversation with them. And Lord, please guide and please bless.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a remarkable experience. And I had prayer and had spiritual conversations with virtually all the neighbors that I went and visited.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an area that I'd grown up in and lived this area for a long time. And later on that year, I got involved in working at a factory. And there was a gentleman there, a young guy who was about my age. And I said, do you want to study the Bible with me? And he said, no, I'm okay. I'll just study it for myself. But I didn't give up. I was quite persistent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I kept saying, you know what? And I would ask him every time I'd see him, I'd say, how's your Bible study going? He'd say, oh, it's going well. I'm still in the book of Genesis. I go, oh, wow. Okay. There's a lot more to go. And in a fun way, I just kept on saying, you know what? Anytime you want, I'd be super keen to get together. Yeah, let's yeah. study the Bible together. Yeah. Eventually he said, let's do it. Let's study together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a transforming experience again as we read scripture together and as I shared some of the things that I'd been taught as well. And I saw the Holy Spirit moving in his life and had the great privilege of seeing that young man be baptized and take his stand on the Lord's side. And Pastor Gary, once you've experienced seeing someone take that stand for Jesus and you recognize that you played a small part in that. God was able to use you, even broken and sinful as we may be. God still wants to use us. And when you have that experience of seeing someone come to the Lord Jesus Christ,
Nothing else compares. Does it? You know, Marty, I really appreciate that that story, because what you're doing here is you're saying, you're talking about the importance of actually being able to share with others. You know, and one of the things that I'm conscious of is that in churches, because we've just been talking about this whole subject of, you know, people moving away from Christ, and I'm conscious that the reason that often happens is because they're actually not involved in the work of Christ to the community. I well remember the very first time I can recall being involved in some sort of mission outreach, and it was something that was actually initiated by my local church. At the time, I was probably 13 or 14, and each afternoon, each Sabbath afternoon, they would try to do some type of missionary outreach. That was the purpose in those days. I can well remember on this particular day they decided that they were going to go out and put literature in people's letterbox. But they had a little bit of a habit, and I can, to this day, I stand amazed at this habit, because I've never seen anybody else do this. Before you went out, you had to sit down at a big table, and the 200 brochures or whatever you were going to give out, you had to put your initials in the top right hand corner. And so you'd go through and you'd put 200 times, you'd put your initials. I never could work out why we were doing this. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, I was soon to discover somebody, one of the church elders came up to me and said, Gary, one of your pieces of literature that you put in a letterbox has come back. People are requesting Bible studies. And the church elder actually said to me, and now you have to follow them up. And I have to admit, you know, I thought, oh, hang on, I've only 30. And I can't follow this up. He said, don't worry, I'll come with you. And this was the first mentoring experience that I ever had. And we went along, and we probably went along for the next 6 or 8 Sabbath afternoons, and opened the Word with this individual. But you know, in doing that, what the church elder was doing was not just teaching the Bible to a community member who was unaware of what was actually in the Bible, but he was also mentoring me. And you know, it's that type of experience that I look back on to this day, and to this day, I just simply say, hey, it's at that point when I started to become involved in the work of ministry, yes, started to become involved in the work of Christ, that at that point something was transformed in me.
That is such a powerful experience, and I would pray that that experience would be multiplied across this country. And, you know, Jesus sent his disciples out 2 by 2.
Yeah.
So this is a very clear biblical model where Jesus himself, you know, didn't just sit in a classroom with his disciples, but he actually mentored them. They learnt on the job. They were involved. They saw the Spirit moving. They saw the power of God's Word when it was proclaimed. They saw the healing touch of Christ.
Yeah.
And we mustn't do ministry in isolation from our, you know,
from the community.
And like you said, we mustn't do ministry solo. We must involve others as well.
Yeah.
Bring them along to the Bible studies and to other things that we're involved in, because that's where we get to see God's Spirit moving.
Because, you know, Marty, the thing that I'm conscious of is that the Lord has actually given each of us at the time of our baptism, actually gave us what we call a spiritual gift.
Mm.
Now, that means that we're actually all going to function in slightly different ways. We're not all going to be the ones giving the Bible studies. We're not all going to be the ones that stand up the front and do preaching. Some people feel called by God to minister through a maybe a health type approach.
Yes.
You know, I'm conscious that, and I I have said this before, but I'm really conscious that the two most powerful gifts in a church, bar none, more powerful than evangelism, are the gifts of hospitality and encouragement. I have found that within the church, that if I have got an evangelist, but I have nobody with the gifts of hospitality and encouragement, then all the people are actually going to walk out the church.
Yeah.
But if I have no evangelist and I have people who are skilled in hospitality and what's the other one?
You said encouragement
and
as well.
Encouragement. Sorry about that. I got my mind ran a different direction. Hospitality and encouragement. If I have got those two gifts, you can be guaranteed that the church will actually grow.
That's so true, because you know that's what creates a warm environment, and people, we need that. We need love. We need encouragement. We need friendship. And really, that's what hospitality is. It's building friendships with people.
Yes.
It's not just being a good cook. It's actually being able to build friendships. You know, it's interesting, like you're saying, there are various gifts that God gives to all people. But, you know, one of the things that we've all been given different gifts, but our mission is identical. Jesus calls all of us to make disciples. We've all been called to help bring other precious souls to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's our work. That's our calling. And when we experience this, it gives tremendous purpose to our lives. I remember one of the things that made a huge impact for me was when I understood more clearly the value of a soul. Mm. The value of a soul can only be estimated in the light of Calvary. When we look at what Jesus has done, when we look at the sacrifice that Jesus made to save humanity, that's how we recognize the value of a human being. That Jesus was willing to lay down his life, and he would have done it for just one person. Mm-hmm. When I started to wrestle with this idea, I started to see people differently. Mm-hmm. I'd see people on the street that I didn't know, and I'd say, Christ died for them. Mm-hmm. Christ loves them. He wants them in his kingdom. And it started to change the way that I operated in my life. It wasn't so much about me getting ahead in my life, but it was more about saying, well, Lord, how can I be used by you to help that person to come to know you, come to know your love? We should never be ashamed of the gospel, by the way. Let me say this. I'm conscious that we live at a time where many people, when they hear about witnessing and soul winning, they almost think about it in a negative way.
Mm.
You know, true witnessing, true soul winning is not, it's not trying to, you know, coerce people to believe the same way that you do. No, it's simply following the footsteps of Jesus. And the Bible says that the Son of Man, in fact, Jesus said himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was Jesus' mission, and I'm a follower of Jesus, that ought to be my mission as well.
Yeah.
We do that by following the same method that Jesus himself used. And the way that Jesus reached people is revealed in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read about the way that Jesus reached people. You see him spending time in people's homes.
Yeah.
You see him spending time with the outcasts, with the sinners and the tax collectors, so to speak, with people that society had rejected or looked down upon. Jesus hadn't rejected them. He saw in them a soul of infinite value.
Yeah.
And he was willing to spend time with people.
Indeed.
He was willing to build relationships. He was willing to gently and tactfully rebuke at the right times and in the right way. Jesus was all about leading souls to his kingdom. And I think the first step, Pastor Gary, as we're sharing today, and I'm imagining that there's someone who is listening today and thinking, I do want to get involved. I do want to be used by God. I don't just want to go to church every week and just sit on a pew. I actually want to be used by God. I think one of the first things we can do is say, Lord, give me the desire. Give me the desire to reach souls for you.
And you know, Marty, it's when you actually come to the point where you're actually involved in the ministry of Jesus. You know, sometimes that might be through an ADRA, you know, community relief. Sometimes it might be through health ministry. Sometimes it might be through simple encouragement. Sometimes it might be through hospitality. Sometimes you might be called to speak. But, you know, I've discovered that it's when you actually become involved in the work of Jesus Christ that all of a sudden your own spiritual life actually becomes alive to an extent that you didn't believe was previously possible.
That is absolutely true. It reminds me of a quote that I read where it says, when you go to work as Christ designed you to work, then you will feel your need of a deeper experience with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was my experience too. One of the most daunting things that I got involved in as a young person was going, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to do this, by the way, but I'm suggesting that we need to do something. We can't do nothing. And one of the simple things that I got involved in was going from door to door with a short survey asking about people's beliefs and their experience with Christ and the Bible. And I tell you, it's daunting knocking on a door.
Yeah.
Not knowing who's behind there and how they're going to react and how they're going to respond or what questions they're going to ask.
They actually react a lot better than what a lot of people realize.
They actually do. And but what I found when I was doing that is at the time, as a young person, I was conscious that my prayer life and my time in the Bible personally was not consistent.
Yeah.
But when I was out there and I was knocking on doors and I was keen to share the truths of God's word and help people to understand what Jesus had done for them and to be ready for the soon return of Jesus, I started to realize that as I was out there sharing, I realized, wow, I cannot share what I do not have. And it drove me to my knees. It drove me to the Bible. And it actually strengthened my religious experience.
A revitalization actually occurred.
Complete revitalization. I would almost say a much more thorough conversion.
Yeah. No, this is excellent. Let's come to some music. This is Gavin Shatilia, and he's singing As Water to the Thirsty. And indeed, that's exactly what we're talking today. Please enjoy this really beautiful, beautiful song.
To the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as sometime and springtime and summertime to be, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. Place of clamor, like peace that follows pain, like meeting after parting, like sunshine after rain, like moonlight and starlight and sunlight on the sea. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. Freedom after bondage, as sunrise to the day, as home to the traveler and all he longs to see. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. So is my Lord to me. So is my Lord to me. So is my
That, of course, is Gavin Shatilia, and he is he's singing as water to the thirsty, and that's exactly what we're talking about today. Now, folks, look, if you would like to have our free giveaway book today, this is a real ripper of a book. If you want to revitalize your personal devotional life, the book is Messiah. Now, Messiah is a contemporary adaptation of the classic book Desire of Ages. This has been done by Jerry Thomas. Now, this book actually follows through the life of Christ from his birth right through to his final ascension into heaven. It just looks at so many incidences in the life of Christ, and it does it in an incredibly devotional way, in a way that it will actually challenge your thinking day by day. It's the sort of book you can read along with the Bible and be incredibly blessed with it. Now, folks, look, if you would like your own copy of Messiah, we're happy to send it to you. Now, our drive time text number, now all you need to do is to text us. Our drive time text number is 0488 80811, and our code is SA324 is our code, and you need to send that to 0488 80811. That won't come to us personally, that'll come through to our robot, and our robot will ask you a few questions, and so that we and then we'll know the fastest way to be able to get that that book to you. That book again is Messiah, and that number is 0488 80811, and the code is SA324. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And today my co-host is Pastor Marty Thompson. And this week we discuss, how can I really fall into love with Jesus? And today, does Jesus have a place for me? We've been talking away about how Jesus has a special place for us, each of us, in some form of ministry by utilizing gifts that he gives us at the time of our conversion. But look, Marty, if you can just sort of bring it all together for us, how do I actually get... How do I start the entire process? What's the best way to start this process?
The first step is always to make sure that our relationship with Christ is right. We can't reform others until we are reformed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We can't share what we don't have. So it's a call to revival. It's a call to repent of anything less than wholehearted devotion to Christ. It's a call to not allow the busyness of life become an excuse for us neglecting what matters for eternal mm-hmm. life. So that's the first thing. We must come to that place where we say, Lord, there's nothing more important to me than you, and I'm willing to do whatever you would call me to do. That has to be our prayer. I believe if we pray that sincerely, God will open doors for us. He will lead us to in the right direction. So we have to pray continually for that. Lord, praying something like, Lord, I recognize the incredible gift of eternal life that you've given to me. I want to share this good news with others.
I'm interested in this concept that you've just expressed, you know, open doors, because sometimes people have certainly shared that with me, that, you know, I'm praying that the Lord will open doors, but he doesn't do anything.
We can't just sit back. We can't just pray and expect that, you know, things are all just going to automatically take place. But what I mean is that we must have the desire. And I believe that if our eyes are open and we are seeing things from God's perspective, meaning we're looking for opportunities to show God's love, to share his truth, we will see them. They're all around us.
Yeah.
And there's a biblical principle that basically, I'll read the text and then explain the principle quickly. Jesus said to his disciples, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So here we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 a simple principle, and that is that we begin with those who are closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with those who are closest to us. Oftentimes, there are people in our families, in our workplaces, in our universities, and in our schools, right under our noses, so to speak, that God is wanting to use us to actually share the good news of Christ with them.
Yes.
And we don't have to try and plan up and dream up some big thing.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply need to befriend them, share a meal with them, invite them, ask them if they're happy for you to pray with them. And in the right time, you may even ask them if they'd be comfortable, if they'd be happy for you to share scripture with them. And I don't believe that that's something that's necessarily going to happen over a week or a month.
Mm.
But if we're consistent in building friendships, and even if they don't respond, we still have, you know, build a friendship. And it's not as if we come and say, well, you know what, if they're not interested in what I have to share with them, then I don't want to have anything to do with them. That's not it at all. The focus is on you want to build a friendship with that person, and the love of Christ will shine through us when we are connected with him.
You know, Marty, what you're actually saying here, just as I reflect on it, is so much like the method that Christ used, because I'm conscious that Christ actually did two things, and he did them abundantly well in his witnessing. The first thing he did was told stories. He told often his own stories, things that he had encountered. He told stories, and the other thing he did was ask questions. And you know, more and more I'm conscious in our witnessing, we actually only need to be able to do two things. We need to be able to tell stories of good things that God has done for me, and the other thing, to be able to ask questions. How is your day going? You know, that's an open-ended question where a person might just say, oh, you know, and fob you off. But you know, so often questions lead to other questions. The only two things that, to me, I'm encouraging people to do is, hey, please ask questions and tell stories.
And I love, you know, the simplicity of that, Pastor Gary. And I do believe that being used by God is a simple thing.
Yeah.
And if we, once again, if we are willing and we say, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to fill my heart with your love. And look for ways to care for those. You know, there are people who are lonely. They need a friend. We need to discern what is the need that somebody has, and how does Christ fill that need? And if someone's lonely, they need friendship. If someone is unwell, they need healing. If someone is depressed, they need joy. They need satisfaction in life. If someone is uncertain, they need certainty. And Christ is the answer to all of those questions. And, you know, I there's so much more that we could say on this, Pastor Gary, but I just want to finish by once again saying we need to get on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, change my heart. Help me not to be focused on just building up my kingdom on this earth, but help me to be about building up your kingdom on this earth.
And the reward actually goes two ways. It will go to somebody else, but it's amazing the way, as soon as I start to look outside of myself, the way that I am also abundantly blessed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I come to you right now. Lord, there are some people who are listening right now who are saying, Lord, where do you want to use me? Lord, I just want to pray right now for that person. Lord, I pray that indeed you might touch them. Lord, that you might be the one to impress them, that you might be the one to open doors, that indeed they might find that place where they can minister for you and they can be blessed abundantly. Lord, I just give this matter into your care at this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor Marty Thompson on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'll be sharing with Pastor David and we ask, how can I hear God speaking to me? Really look forward to you being with us. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.